Blog Talk Radio.
It's coming. You can hear the roar and you can feel the rumble. But to really experience race weekend, you've got to see it live. NASCAR returns to RIR for three nights of racing starting Thursday, September 10th and culminating Saturday, September 12th under the lights with the Federated Auto Parts 400. It's the last race to make the chase, and a shot at the NASCAR Sprint Cup is on the line. See for yourself who gets in and who's left out. The best seats go early, so get your tickets today at RIR.com. It's NASCAR at RIR. You've got to see it.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hi, I'm Harrison Burton, driver of the number 12 Dex Imaging Toyota Camry, and you're listening to the Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Good evening from Talladega. I'm your host, Tim DeSpain, alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson. Got a big show planned tonight. Let's bring on Reverend Joe Bubico from out there on the West Coast and get everything going. Let's bring Reverend Joe into the Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing good, buddy. Other than sadness over the loss of Jason Wilson and hearing that Tony Stewart's going to retire, those things kind of get to me a bit. But, you know, when you get into the kind of sport we're in, we know the danger when we strap in. And I've been doing it 50 years myself. And doesn't matter if you drive in the smallest, simplest division or the top leagues, the danger is still the same. It's just so hard. So before we get started, why don't we start off with a moment of silence for Jason?
Yes, sir.
Lord, we come before you tonight. We pray for Jason's family. Jason Wilson was a great racer and a great guy. We're sad to lose him, but we know you'll be with his family and help them through this. It's never an easy thing, so please be with his family, be with his friends, his teammates, and all those that were involved in that crash, because it affects them all. So please, Lord, we ask you please to keep these things from happening. Block them away. We know they happen often, way too often at local tracks that we never hear about. But protect all those that are racers. Protect all those that are crewmen, everyone involved with our sport. Be with them. Protect them. Protect all the people that listen to our radio show and all those involved in auto racing every way. Be with our soldiers who fight and give their lives up for our freedom. Be with their families who stay home and wait for them. And be with us all. And we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, so that by belief in him, we don't have to die twice. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Reverend Joe, I say it every week, and I'm going to say it again this week. Great invocation, bud. Really appreciate you being the Reverend on the show. You want to let everybody know where they can follow you at on your social media and your website, bud. You got the floor.
Yes, sir. Thank you. They can call me on the phone anytime at 951-232-7630. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. And my email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. They can also follow me on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico, B-U-B-B-I-C-O. And check me out on the Pit Stop Radio's stream online. So they can get me every which way. And if all else fails, call Tim. He'll tell you how to get me.
There you go, Rev. Reverend, thank you very much, bud, and appreciate everything you do for the sport, and we'll talk at you on the flip side, bud. Have a good one, man.
Absolutely. You too, buddy. Care, guys.
All right, see you, bud. You too, bud. That was a good friend, Reverend Joe. Comes on every week. Now my co-host, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, my good friend, Stephen Wilson. Let's bring him in the pit stop. Let's get all, where's my bud? Here's my bud.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing, bud? I know we got a lot to talk about. What's going on up there in Virginia?
Oh, there's a lot going on. It's hot back up here again today. I thought we had gotten past all this weather, but I guess not.
But y'all got heat up. We were, which Megan can't make it on. She's got some stuff going on. We might be hitting some record lows. They say we might be in the mid-50s in the morning here in Dayton.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, send it up my way, because I'd like to have that.
I will, bud. I will. And I know we got a lot to talk about. We got where you sit down with the president of the Dalton Raceway. You and Chip sit down and done an interview. We got that taped and coming on. And we had the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. We had all three major series at Bristol Motor Speedway this past weekend, which the trucks was at... was last Wednesday night. You got the floor, bud. If you want to start with the trucks, we'll roll through this, get all this out, play some media interviews, and talk to me before we play your interview with Chip. And we got at the top of the hour winner at Springfield this past weekend in the ARCA Racing Series, AJ Fight. We got him coming on top of the hour at 8 Eastern. But go ahead, Stephen, and we'll get everything going, and we will take your calls. Number to call in is 215-383-3681. We will get you on as soon as we can.
Yeah, well, last week, kicking off the week at the Half Mile Bull Ring out there in Thunder Valley with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and the 18th annual UNOH 200 presented by Zaloop. Kyle Busch and Ryan Blady starting from the pole and outside pole out there. Real good racing out there all weekend, all night long. Unfortunately, Ryan Blaney early on into the event was tagged by NASCAR for jumping the restart. Him and his crew did try and argue the point that he did feel that Cole Custer was laying back on the restart, but NASCAR did eventually make him come to pit road. He was down a lap. He raced his way back onto the lead lap throughout the rest of the event, and he was your eventual winner out there after battling Kyle Busch to the end. This is his first victory in fourth top 10 finish in 2015 in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, and his first victory out there at Bristol Motor Speedway. Kyle Busch finished second out there. John Hunter Nemechek, third place finish out there. He was also the highest finishing rookie. Tyler Reddick had an up and down night all night long. So did Matt Crafton, but those two kind of evened it out towards the end of the event. And Matt Crafton was able to close in a little bit onto the points there to Tyler Reddick. Tyler now leads the points by only 6 going into this weekend up there at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park up in Canada.
Okay, Steve, let's go to the media center interview. Let me find my button here. Where's everything go? Oh, we got Ryan Blaney. Chief Chad Kendrick, owner Brad Keselowski, and the media center at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Continue. continuing on with our post-race availability for the UNOH 200, we are now joined by our race-winning driver, Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 29 Cooper Standard Ford, his crew chief, Chad Kendrick, and car owner, team owner, Brad Keselowski. Ryan, this is your fourth victory in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. You came up short last week. How does it feel to find victory lane this week at Bristol?
It feels really good to finally get in victory lane with this 29 team. You know, I've had a chance to drive this truck four times this year, and we've come really, really close every single time. And to finally be able to get in victory lane, my last start of the year for this truck, it really means a lot to get Chad and Brad back in victory lane. That's at a place like this where it's, you know, I remember growing up watching my dad race as a kid. It's really special, and to do it in that fashion, coming from a lap down and being able to drive through the field like that, says a lot about our race team and a lot about what, as an organization, we can do, and just really special to get Cooper Standard and Ford back in victory lane.
Brad, this is the third win for Brad Keselowski Racing this season. Talk about watching
four.
The race. Is it four?
Four.
Oh, sorry. Four. Four wins
Not
this season.
Not that anyone's counting.
Four wins for Brad Keselowski Racing this season. Talk about watching the race from an owner's standpoint tonight.
Well, it's a fun race to watch, you know, and I guess the start is I give NASCAR a lot of credit sometimes. There's a lot of topics I don't give them a lot of credit over, but I'll give them a lot of credit for, you know, sticking it out, getting the rain and the water on the track washed off or dried off, I should say, because this was it's been a long day or two here in Bristol, and it would have been very easy to throw in the towel on tonight's race. And obviously, I'm glad they didn't. I think it was good for the sport and certainly good for us as a team. So I think they deserve some credit to begin with. But, you know, the 29 truck was just really, really fast. And it wasn't qualifying. It was, you know, as soon as they dropped the green in the race, you know, you saw Ryan drive away and, you know, had that little hiccup there with the restart. But, you know, as Ryan indicated, driving back to the front in spite of that and closing it out on the green weight checker, that's a heck of a way to finish it up. And I think it just showcases, you know, as Ryan said, how fast the truck was and how good our team can be when we fire on all eight cylinders. And then, of course, Ryan's talents, you know, when it comes to those restarts between him and Logano, I got a lot of work to do to keep up. So that's good. They're pushing me and getting in victory lane at the same time. So that's good teamwork. But really proud of the effort for everyone on the team. And the last few times I've drove this truck, I've wrecked it, so maybe I'm going to have to retire from driving my own stuff, I don't know, but they're winning races and doing a heck of a job, and of course with Tyler in the points lead, you know, ending up tonight, maybe one of the tracks that was circled as being a tough one to get through, for him to do just that was an overall great day for everyone at Team BKR.
And Chad, talk about the strategy throughout the race, especially after going a lap down early on.
I had to kind of compose myself there because, like Ryan, I was trying to tell him on the radio, don't worry about it. All right, it's done, over. We're going to come back from this. But I was pretty upset about the call. But so when that caution came out, there were six trucks behind us. I was somewhat questioning giving up that track position. But then, you know, I was like, well, as easy as Ryan's kind of made it look coming through there, I was like, let's get some better tires than the guy. I knew the leaders with the rain being iffy, nobody else, they weren't going to come back. If they didn't come there, they weren't going to come at all. So we came on, took an opportunity to make a small adjustment and put some fresher tires on, and Ryan did the rest. I mean, I got to sit back and watch it, which was pretty amazing. The truck was good, and it goes back on a little bit of what, you know, Brad won here last year, and we used some notes from that and had a really great practice and test. We tested, I think I had 12 springs wound in to come test, and I think we put 10 of them in testing. And it was really, all the changes were accurate in practice, and we got great feedback from Ryan, decided on a package, and we were really good all weekend. And I you know, you always want to be here and think that you're going to get here, but we kind of thought this was going to happen, so.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll start up front with Chris and then go to Kenny.
Chris Knight, NASCAR Wire Service. Ryan, when the caution came out on lap 196, what was going through your mind?
You know, just we have a chance. That's really all you can ask for is a chance. Yeah, we were
coming really, really good there the last 10 laps when we got to second. And we probably would have been able to get to his bumper, and he would have moved up, and it would have been tough to pass him, but they just opened a door of opportunity, and you never know what can happen on these restarts. Obviously, the inside is not the preferred lane on the restarts, but luckily we got a good one and a good jump, and we're able to get the lead. So just opened the door and gave us a shot to win, and luckily we were able to capitalize on it.
And, Stephen, you brought up a good point. Well, I got it on my mind. There's been a lot of chatter about this restart rule. You brought that up earlier when you were talking about it. The NASCAR rule book states 10.12.1.1 with the green flag. The green flag signifies the start of the start or restart of racing conditions. The NASCAR officials will signify one lap to go. A lap before the green flag will be displayed. At the initial start of the race, the starter will display the green flag at his or her discretion. Once the green flag is displayed on a start or restart, all vehicles must maintain their respective track position. Lane is designated by NASCAR until they have crossed the start-finish line. At the initial start of the race, the number two starting position must not beat the number one starting position to the start-finish line. All restarts shall be within a designated zone of the racetrack that will be made known as the drivers will be made known to the drivers in the pre-race drivers meeting, which they're calling the box. The leader of the race will control, which they call the control car, the restart within the designated restart zone. Here is the kicker. I've been listening to a lot of chatter on Sirius. I know you have too, Stephen. If the leader does not restart by the time he/she reaches the single red line, which is the exit red line inside that box or outside that box, your last line of the restart zone, the starter will restart the race. We have not seen that happen, Stephen. We've had a lot of people spin their tires, and NASCAR has let that go. Do you have a take on that?
Well, that's exactly what Blaney's crew was trying to argue with NASCAR, is that they were trying to say that Cole Custer was holding the field back on the outside lane on the restart. By doing so, Blaney was much farther in front of him, which gave the perception of that he was not in his line and controlling the restart any longer. NASCAR ultimately did go back to the cameras and into the control booth and to the camera system that they have at the track, and ultimately disagreed, did send him down to pit road. Whether he was laying back or not, the only thing I can say to that is that I know that that's kind of one of those judgment call situations where in one instance they will warn the driver not to do so again. If they do, then they would black flag them. But then in other cases, if it was a blatant, obvious problem, then they would go ahead and bring them down pit road to serve a penalty. Whether this was one of those blatant, obvious problems, I personally did not see it, but then again, I'm not making the judgment call. I think maybe a warning, because it was so early in the race and because we're in such a tight quartered half-mile track, I think maybe a warning should have sufficed at that point in the race. But then again, I'm not making the judgment call. NASCAR made the call and ultimately brought him down pit road.
Yeah, you made a very good statement there, Steve. And we'll let that go because we got a lot going on. I'll go ahead and go into the NASCAR Xfinity Series. They were at Bristol Motor Speedway, 34th annual Food City 300. Kyle Busch won the 34th annual Food City 300, his 73rd victory in 302 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his third victory and fifth top 10 finish in 2015. This is his eighth victory and 18th. Top 10 finish in 22 races at Bristol Motor Speedway. He owns Bristol. Kyle Larson finished second, posted his fourth top 10 finish in five races at Bristol Motor Speedway. It is his sixth top 10 finish in 2015. Denny Hamlin finished third, posted his third top 10 finish in eight races at Bristol Motor Speedway. Daniel Suarez finished fifth, was the highest finishing rookie. And Chris Buescher leads the point standings by 19 over Ty Dillon. And let's see what they had to talk about in the media center, Stephen. NASCAR Xfinity Series, Kyle Busch and crew chief Chris Gale.
We'll continue on with our post-race media availabilities for tonight's Food City 300. We are now joined by our race winner, Kyle Busch, and his crew chief, Chris Gale. Kyle, you now have a track record 8 NASCAR Xfinity Series wins here at Bristol. This is also your 150th NASCAR National Series win. How does it feel to be back in victory lane here?
Pretty good. You know, this is certainly, you know, one of those places that we definitely always circle on the calendar to try to come to and race for victories. And tonight was one of those nights, you know, just you're never really sure how it's going to play out or how it's going to work out. But you stay in the game till the end, and somehow, sometimes it's your night. And tonight we can certainly take that with us and know that it was our night. You know, just the 60, obviously they were trying. And I give them full credit for trying the effort there and trying to go the whole way on fuel like that there at the end, running that many laps. And they're fast. You know, they certainly had really good speed on those old tires. I mean, there were some times I probably could have made some moves on them, but I just didn't quite get a good enough run off the corner to make anything that was going to work. You know, and then it seemed like he kind of started to get away from me a little bit there when I got bottled up in some traffic. And then there at the end, I wasn't sure if we were going to have the opportunity to get back to him or not with – I didn't see very many lap cars when that caution came out with four to go that were coming up next. So, all in all, just a great night. You know, Chris and the guys made some really good calls on the car for me and made some adjustments to help me out for being too loose in the long run, and that really worked for me. So, Monster Energy Camry and Victory Lane always looks good here in Bristol.
Chris, tell us a little bit about the late race strategy and your view from the pit box.
Really, from a strategy standpoint, there wasn't a whole lot there. I knew, you know, they limit you to three sets of tires, so we kind of knew we were coming when that caution came in the last stop. I think you see the 60 was the only person who tried that, and obviously almost made it work. But really, I mean, our car was off most of the night, you know. I mean, we were loose to start and looser than we expected to be, and we had to do a lot of adjustments on it tonight with only three pit stops. I mean, we'd probably been better off to do less practice, because I don't know if what we really worked on in practice is what we needed for racing tonight. But, you know, he hung in there. We knew we were going to have a long run at the very end, so we kind of wanted to get ahead of the balance problems we were fighting. And we might have gone a little too much, but he also did a good job saving tires, and it worked out well.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. Starting back with Mike.
Mike Nutt from frontstretch.com. Kyle, Buescher was kind of slowly pulling away from you there. Their crew was keeping you abreast of the fact that he was saving. Was there a part of a thought in your mind to let him go ahead and burn his stuff up, knowing you'd probably get a late race caution, or was he just that much that he was able to pull away from you that whole time?
Early in the run, when we first came and got tires and those guys stayed out and he stretched a straightaway on me, I was saving tires. You know, I knew, well, we thought that no matter what, they were going to have to come down, and so that was ultimately just going to hand me the lead. So we were just saving our stuff. I was just racing the guys behind me at that point, you know, just looking at Denny and looking at Larson and seeing what I needed to do in order to judge my gap off of those guys. I just let the 60 go, you know. But once we got a couple more of those cautions and came down to the last, I think we had a restart with about 35 to go or something, that's when I knew it was go time. You know, I was going to have to pressure him. And I was on him the whole run. I felt like, you know, there was an opportunity that he kind of got away from me a little bit, maybe a car length and a half or two, with about six to go through some lap cars, but then I didn't know if we were going to be able to run him back down or not, but there was a caution with four to go, so it became irrelevant. But he ran a great race. I mean, he was fast and did a really good job. I'm still shocked how fast he was on those old tires, and I could see sometimes when I can get close enough to him and I could push him through the corner or pressure him enough through the corner, he can make mistakes, and I was just hoping that one of those was going to be big enough that I was going to have a run on him and I could get by him, but it never transpired until that restart where he ran out.
Steven, any thoughts on the Food City 300 up there at Bristol Motor Speedway?
Yeah, I'll have to agree with Kyle. Chris Buescher was really, really fast, even when Kyle was trying to pressure him throughout those closing laps out there. And Kyle did exactly what he needed to do to run Chris out of fuel. And that's ultimately what doomed him in winning that event out there and costing him an 11th place ultimately finish out there in that event. And additionally, one other neat statistic out of that event and Kyle Busch winning the Food City 500, the Food City 300 at Bristol. It was Kyle Busch's 150th NASCAR National Series victory since he has joined NASCAR in three top-tier touring events for NASCAR.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen, there's a lot of people that don't like Kyle Busch, but I'm going to tell you, some gun can drive a race car. Race car or race truck, it don't matter. He can. He is a real wheel man, anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything that you put him in, he absolutely can drive it, without a doubt, whether you like him, love him, or hate him.
Exactly. You got to give him credit. Okay, Stephen, you got the floor with the Cup Series. Go ahead, bud.
NASCAR Cup Series out there in the 55th annual Irwin Tools Night. 500 laps around the half-mile bowl ring out there under the light Saturday night in Bristol. Joe Logano put on a heck of a show out there. Looked like, between him and Kyle Busch out there, Kevin Harvick, a lot of those guys just had a heck of a running out there. Clint Bowyer, you take a look at him and David Ragan throughout a majority of halfway, three-quarters of the event until David Ragan had an issue early on. Unfortunately, he got caught up in an incident with Jimmy Johnson coming down on him and pushing him off into Clint Bowyer out there, which smashed up his car, kind of ended his night out there, but he was able to come back many, many laps down and kind of salvaged a halfway decent finish, but still many laps down out there, unfortunately. But he did have a heck of a run out there. Joey Logano, the eventual winner out there, this 11th victory in 243 events, and his third victory in 2015, second victory there at Bristol Motor Speedway. Kevin Harvick, second place out there, and his 21st top 10 finished in 2015. Danny Hamlin third out there, and Brent Moffitt was your highest finishing rookie. Kevin Harvick continues to lead out there by 43 points over Joey Logano. Kevin Harvick, by virtue of his second place finish, now moves on to the all moves up in the all-time second place finishers list with 10 second place finishes in a single season, finally making it onto that list. There's a few more people in front of him, including Bobby Allison and a couple other guys, so he's got a few more races to try and pass them for the single season record, which is headed up with 18 in a single season of second place finishes.
And Stephen, let's see what winner of the Irwin Tuesday night race at Bristol Motor Speedway, Mr. Joe Logano, had to say in the media center.
We'll go ahead and continue with our post-race availabilities. We are now joined by our race winner, Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford. Joey, this is your second consecutive Irwin Tools night race victory. Tell us about your race and holding off Kevin Harvick's challenges at the end.
That sounds nice. It's a nice ring to it. It's cool to win here. And racing Kevin hard and clean like that at the end was a lot of fun. It's so interesting how we ran such different lines and be the same speed on the racetrack. And interesting how that all works out. And that's what makes Bristol so much fun to go around, is that you can drive around this place four or five different ways and have a lot of speed. No matter how you drive it, it's what fits your style and what fits the setup of your car. And we both found what works for us, and I really thought we were going to be able to pull away, because I thought we were really good on the long run. And then we didn't pull away, and I was like, uh-oh. It's just all about working the lap traffic right at the end, not making mistakes and not getting bottled up in traffic and, letting them get by. So it was a very exciting last 20, 30 laps for sure, and need to be able to get a checkered flag again here at Bristol and pull that car up on top of the building here and get a big checkered flag and a have a little bit of fun with the guys.
We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation, and we'll start up top in the press box.
Nate Hubbard with the Bristol Paper. Just even still at 25, do you just have an appreciation after the rough couple last years that Joe Gibbs to be where you're at right now, and you know, almost feel like you've gone through a lot. Even at the age you're at now.
You know, obviously JGR is a great team. They're kicking butt out there right now, and I've been fortunate enough to drive for two great race teams. And the difference now is that I'm ready to go racing and race for championships. And you know, back then I wasn't. And you know, I definitely learned a lot. I wouldn't trade those years for $1 million. You know, it was such a fun, you know, learning experience over there, and you know, really shaped me into the person and the driver that I am, and I owe them a lot for that. But you know, like I said, I'm fortunate to drive for a couple great teams, and working with Team Penske and Roger, and you know, everyone on the 22 team has been a blessing, to say the least. It's just such a great group of guys. It's you know, I say this all the time, but there's no one hero on the team. You know, together we make a hero, and I'm pretty proud of you know, how we work together as a team. It's something I really pride, you know, put a lot of pride into, and you know, what our guys are able to accomplish there. And you know, you think of the pressure that these guys had to go through when you come down pit road there with a few laps to go, and they bust off 11-second pit stop. That's because they're athletes. You know, that's a true athlete is when you can, you know, not choke under pressure, and I couldn't be more proud of those teams.
Steven, any thoughts there? Joey brought up a good point talking about JGR, Joe Gibbs Racing. They've really come on strong here the past few weeks, and you know, Team Penske is also doing well. Got Team Hendrick. I know you've been watching a little bit of that with the 5, the 24, and the 48. And all that going on, the 88. What's your take on going up into the chase, bud? Do you think Joe Gibbs Racing has the hands up, or do you think Penske, or do you think Jimmy Johnston and that bunch of Hendrick is going to jump back in and get a golden horseshoe, bud?
I mean, right now, your strongest teams right now are obviously Joe Gibbs Racing, Team Penske, and Stuart Haas Racing with Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick right now. Those teams right now are the strongest of the field, without a doubt. Team Hendrick right now really hasn't put on a strong enough showing to really seem to make a dent in what any of those guys are doing. You take a look at what JGR has done over the last 5 or 6 races. They've got 4 wins. Take a look at what they've done in the other series. They're just so strong across all the series combined. And you take a look at what Joey Logano has already done this year. He's got 3 wins. You've got Brad Keselowski already with multiple wins. Kevin Harvick, multiple wins. 10 top 2 finishes already this year. Kurt Busch, multiple wins already. I mean, so, you know, those are your strongest teams right now. Hendrick Motorsports, yeah, Jimmy Johnston is the only one over there that seems to, early on in the season, was doing fairly well. He has 4 wins already this year, but he really hasn't done much since those 4 wins. It's kind of been floundering around since that time. Dale Earnhardt Jr., same way. It's kind of been an up-and-down year. Jeff Gordon really not done much. He's had a really, really bad final season. Over there, just a couple top 10s, top 15 finishes, and has yet to make a win. Whether he's going to make it into the final chase or not is really remains to be seen at this point, depending on what he can do over these final 2 races. If he can get a win, and how many seeds are left if he can't get a win. And Casey Kane definitely has, again, another guy that has just floundered around over there at Hendrick. So, you know, you've got 3 teams that are definitely going to be really, really hard to beat when we get into the chase, and I think it's really going to come down to one of those when we start having to knock some drivers out.
Yeah, right. And, Stephen, we're right here at the chase, but we've got so much news going on. I mean, you know, you and I, we could talk about this chase deal forever, and we can throw the scenarios and that and all that. But you had a chance to sit down with Chip Wild with an interview. You want to talk a little bit about that before we play it?
Yeah, you know, we're coming up. We've got an off week this week for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, and then we're going to come back for the Bojangles Southern 500 with Chip Wile coming back there. Traditional Southern 500 weekend on Labor Day, first time we've had it in over a dozen years or so. It's been bounced around throughout a couple dates, Mother's Day weekend and April for the last couple of years. So Chip's really excited. Darlington County's really excited. NASCAR and NASCAR Nation, all the fans, everybody seems to be really excited. NASCAR has really embraced this whole throwback with all the cars this year. They've got nearly, I think it's about 15 cars or so that are going to come on, 15, 18 cars that are going to come with throwback schemes, and they're announcing new cars almost every day coming up into the Southern 500. And it's really neat that you've got Darrell Wolfe, which is part of ISC, that has been kind of spearheading this along with Chip Wile going to these teams and really bringing this whole throwback with getting the Southern 500 back on the traditional date. So this is kind of a good thing to really get these old throwback cars back on the track again and kind of really kick this marketing into high gear. But I'll let kind of Chip touch on some of these things that we've discussed.
Okay, Stephen. That sounds good. We're going to play your interview with Chip Wile, president of Darlington Raceway.
Chip Wile, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us about the Southern 500. This is the first year back with the Labor Day race. Talk a little bit about what this means to Darlington County and NASCAR to bring the event back to its traditional weekend.
Yeah, you know, the Bojangles Southern 500 sat on Labor Day weekend for 55-plus years. You know, unfortunately, it went away for 11 years, but coming back to its traditional date and all of the things that surround the Bojangles Southern 500 is really special. And, you know, I think one of the most rewarding parts of my job was being able to deliver the news to Darlington County because, you know, there's so many folks who grew up in this area and had such a touch point with the racetrack and have so many fond memories of being out at the racetrack on Labor Day weekend. So we've seen an additional element of excitement leading into the Bojangles Southern 500 weekend. You know, our community has really got behind a lot of the things that we're working on here at the track to make it special for the great race fans that come and support the Darlington Raceway. And we're really looking forward to it. You know, it's been 18 months since we've had a race, and we're all chomping at the bit to get race cars here and the great race fans that come help support this fantastic racetrack.
And one of the special events that you guys really got going on there is that a lot of the teams and drivers are really coming back with a lot of the throwback paint schemes. I know that yesterday you had debuted a Roush Fenway car with David Pearson's paint scheme onto it, as well as Jimmy Johnson and a fair few other drivers are going to bring some throwback paint schemes out there to really bring in the 65th anniversary of the track, as well as the return of the Bojangles Southern 500. Talk a little bit about what that really means to the track and to bring some of those paint schemes into this kind of throwback era of the track.
Yeah, so we announced last year during our race weekend that we were going to do this program. Every major sporting league has a weekend where they celebrate the history and the heritage of the sport. The NFL does throwback jerseys. Major League Baseball has a Hall of Fame game, and we felt like NASCAR hasn't had a platform to be able to celebrate its rich history in one place. And felt like Darlington Raceway, you know, being around since 1950, and this is the 66th running of the Bojangles Southern 500, this was a perfect place to celebrate that. So we started knocking on doors. We went and visited with every race team. We went and visited with NASCAR. We went and visited with Fanatics. We went and visited with the Hall of Fame and really told the story on why we felt like this was a really good platform. And you know, our goal year one, because this isn't a one-year deal, this is our 5 to 7 year strategic platform, it was to have 8 cars. You know, 8 to 10 cars, it felt like if we had that, it would be a win year one. And I think in my last count, we had 29 cup cars that will be flying retro colors when they show up here for the Bojangles Southern 500. And that's just a testament to the folks that work in this office that have been out telling the story and really working hard to try to make sure that everybody understands what we're trying to accomplish. And it's just a terrific way for us to show everybody in the community how important celebrating how we got here was. We're going to have 14 NASCAR Hall of Famers on property all weekend doing a number of different activities with our race fans and they're going to do things that really get us to where we need to be. And I'm so excited about this year, but really excited about 2016 and beyond. You know, we're setting the bar high this year, but we're building a really nice foundation for this platform. And I think when people see it come to life in 2 weeks, there'll be even more excitement going into 2016.
And your race is right before we cut off the chase going into Richmond, as well as the famed Southern 500. We also is going to be, NASCAR is going to come and bring in the package that we've run at Kentucky. Talk a little bit about all those combinations of events that are going to culminate right there at Darlington Raceway in the Southern 500 weekend. Talk a little bit about your predictions on what you guys think is going to happen out there with this event now that it's been moved into September with a hot, slick track that I think that a lot of drivers, a lot of fans really want to see out there.
Yeah, the new package that they ran in Kentucky, they actually tested here the week before, and low downforce package means these guys are going to be slipping and sliding, and these cars are harder to drive, smaller spoiler, smaller front radiator pan, smaller splitter. I think it's going to make these guys certainly earn their money. And, you know, I talked to a lot of drivers when they were here, and they said, this is the track goal. This is the track. It's finally gotten the characteristics back to what it was before the repave. And so you're wearing out tires in a hurry. And I think it's just going to make the racing that much better. I think the package in Kentucky was really good. I think the drivers really liked it. I think NASCAR was happy with it. And you got to remember, our track is a lot, has much a lot more banking. So I think the speeds are going to be up, and I think you'll see a ton more passing. We're really excited about that new package and bringing it to life. I think the other exciting element, like you mentioned, was we're closer to the end of the race for the chase, and there's six or seven drivers right now that are on the bubble and really need to either capture that win or have a good finish. And you got to think about the next 2 weeks, Bristol this week, which really a lot of things are out of your control. You get in somebody else's wreck in a hurry, and then you come to Darlington, which is one of the hardest tracks on the circuit. They're two big question marks for these guys from 12th to 18th or 20th, and they know they got to have two strong runs in order to try to solidify their position when we get to Chicago and start the chase for the championship. So I think that adds an additional element of excitement to our race outside of all the other things that we're doing to provide value for our race fans as they show up on site.
And the last question I got for you is that you guys are doing something special again this year, is that you're bringing back the VFW race and really kind of honoring those veterans out there that have served our country. Talk a little bit about what you guys have going on for those guys and really honoring the veterans and everybody that have served our country there and at Darlington.
Yeah, well, you know, Sport Clips is such a fantastic partner. And, in fact, the guy who started Sport Clips is from Sumter and grew up in Sumter and remembers growing up, one of his fondest memories was coming to the Bojangles Southern 500 every year. So that's a really neat connection. He's a really incredible guy, and he's certainly involved with the VFW, and they have done terrific things. You know, we're kind of in the heartland for the military. We got bases, obviously, in Colombia. We got Parris Island, which isn't too far from here. And we really want to recognize and celebrate the folks who keep us safe. So we do a huge military program that we're really, really happy about and really pleased with. But anytime we have an opportunity to honor those folks that, one, have served our country or are going in to basic training to serve us and serve the country, we want to make sure we recognize and celebrate them. And really looking forward to not only having them here on Saturday, but also Sunday. They're a really special part of our weekend anytime we have an event out here. And In fact, you know, we have a lot of folks that, that come through on a regular basis on their way to Myrtle Beach or on the way home. And over the last 5 or 6 weeks, I've had a number of folks who've come in who just finished basic training. And it's really humbling for us at the racetrack to be able to beat these people who give their lives, put their lives on the line every day to protect our country. And we want to say thanks. You know, we always do. We make sure we give them a little extra when they come by and just let them know how much we appreciate their service. And man, it truly is humbling that folks 18, 19, 20 years old are committing to keeping us safe and protecting our freedoms. And that's something special that everybody in the NASCAR community recognizes. But it really is special here, being kind of in the heartland of all of these military bases. You got the Air Force Base in Charleston. Like I said, we got the big military base in Columbia and then Parris Island. So we're surrounded by them, and we love having them out here on race weekend and recognizing them and making them a part of what we do.
Well, Chip, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the Pit Stop Radio and talk about the Southern 500. You guys have a good weekend out there. And tell everybody where they can find you guys on social media, any kind of ticket deals that you have going on, and we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, you know, if you haven't gotten your tickets to the Bojangles Southern 500, get them today. 1-866-459-RACE, 1-866-459-RACE, or darlingtonraceway.com. Two best ways to get your tickets locked and loaded for the Bojangles Southern 500. Obviously, you can like us on Facebook. It's at Too Tough to Tame, and on Twitter, it's at Too Tough to Tame. So, lots of ways to connect with us. We're actually in the midst of releasing a lot of these special paint schemes through our social channels. So go online and follow us, and there's some really cool things that we're going to unveil over the next 21 days.
Stephen, that was a great interview. Great interview with Chip Wild, president of Darlington Raceway. And you touched a little bit on earlier. You said it had been about a dozen years since NASCAR, you know, moved the race from Labor Day weekend back to Atlanta Motor Speedway, and now we're going back for the Bojangles 500 at Darlington. Stephen, what do you think we have in store? What do you think we should be looking for? It's the next to last race before the trace. Before the chase. It should get very interesting, shouldn't it, bud?
Well, that's why we touched on it just a little bit with Chip. I had asked him that question, what he thought was going to happen. We're going to bring back the same package that we ran at Kentucky. It was tested right there at Darlington. We're going to start this race right in the daylight, and that track is going to be very hot. It's going to be very slick in September, and we're going to get those cars, and they're going to have less downforce than they've ever had at that racetrack before, which they're going to slip and slide all over that racetrack, and as they run up against that wall, they're going to slam themselves up into that wall like they've done more times than in the past, and they're going to get a whole lot of Darlington stripes, and that's going to make it real difficult, I think, on a lot of those drivers out there, especially during the daytime. And as that track cools down and the grip picks up, the race is going to change throughout the night. And I think we're going to have a real, real good race when that comes down to the final, whoever can make it through that daylight in the changing of the track. So if you haven't got your tickets, go out there to the Southern 500, Bojangles Southern 500, Darlington Raceway for Labor Day weekend, especially with it coming back for the first time this year. You definitely got to go out there and see what happens out there, because I think it's going to be a real interesting event.
I do too, Stephen. And I think the tempers are going to flare. And, you know, Suzanne and I, we're going to meet you and Anne Marie up there too. This is going to be our first trip to the Lady in Black. I can't wait, bud. I can't wait. I think it's going to be something to see. And just like you said, race fans, it's finally come back to Labor Day weekend, just like you asked for, the fans asked for it. If you hadn't got your tickets, you can listen to the show, or you can go to DarlingtonRaceway.com. Just like Stephen said, get your tickets. I think this is going to be one to remember. And Stephen, coming up at the top of the hour, we've got AJ Fight. But I want to go through, if I can, I want to go through the ARCA Racing Series. You know, we normally don't do this because we stay with the NASCAR stuff. But the 2015 ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards, event number 16, Illinois State Fairgrounds, Springfield, Illinois. The SuperChevyStores.com 100. Driver of the number 27, AJ Fight won his first win. Driver of the Liberty Village Office Specialist Ford, he won his first race, and it was on dirt. Margin of victory was 0.759 seconds. Cautions was 7 for 40 laps. Time of the race was 1 hour, 25 minutes, 51 seconds. Average speed was 72.684 miles per hour. Your lap leader's Infinger. You know, Infinger had some problems. He did lead some laps. Weatherman led some laps. Frank Kimmel led some laps. Tommy Hessert. And just to talk a little bit about A.J. Fike. A.J. Fike has been around. He's run some Xfinity stuff, some NASCAR Camping World Truck Series stuff also. But it was a good race, Steve. I don't know if you got to take in any of it during the Indy race there at Pocono. Did you get to watch any of the ARCA race there at Springfield?
I did not, no.
Okay. Okay, and we'll go on to I know we had some breaking news after we had our last show, Stephen. If you want to take care of this, Michael Waltrip Racing and Bowyer agreed to separate at season's end. Would you like to talk a little bit about that, or was you prepared for it?
Yeah, we can go on and talk about this. Right after we talked about, got off the show last week on Wednesday, it was announced that Rob Kaufman, the majority owner of Michael Waltrip Racing, has announced that at the end of 2015, Michael Waltrip Racing will shut down operations on a full-time schedule. He has also allowed Clint Bowyer, who is under contract through 2016, to begin looking for another contract for next year. He has also said that, well, Clint Bowyer has said that he is, or the number 15 car is funded for 2016 through his partnership through 5-Hour Energy, as well as some of the other partners that have been on the car this year. So he looks like he's in a good position to go into another team, who that team is going to be. There's some rumors on where he's going to end up at. No definitive on where he's going to end, but there is some rumors on where he may go to. Rob Kaufman and Clint Bowyer were in the media center this past weekend there at Bristol Motor Speedway, and Clint Bowyer did start this out where he did talk a little bit about it very candidly, that he doesn't feel like he's got any hard feelings against him. Against Rob Kaufman or Michael Waltrip Racing. He's sad to see that the operation is going to shut down, but he doesn't feel that the issue is stemming from anything that has happened previously, and he definitely touched on the incident at Richmond just a couple of years back, which he spun out, and Martin Truex Jr. was removed from the chase, and ultimately Gordon was put into the chase, adding a 13th driver in at the time at Chicago. He did go on to touch on a few more points. Rob Kaufman did follow him up immediately afterwards and did say that the team would be sold off, the equipment would be sold off. Rob did go on to say where he felt that the team's downfall was the incident at Richmond. There was other incidents also involved. He sounded like that there were some other issues ongoing at Michael Waltrip Racing, but he did say that by moving to Chip Ganassi Racing in 2016, that allowed him to focus on the Race Team Alliance, which he has been heading up and founded, as well as he feels that the shop and the surrounding land that the shop is located on would be better used if it was torn down and a housing development built there. So make your own judgment on his comments and Bowyer's comments, but I'll leave it at that without further ado.
Yes, Stephen, you and I had talked about that earlier. I mean, you know, Rob Kaufman, I mean, you know, he, that gun, bud, I mean, he was, well, I'm like you. I better watch him and say, whoa, we got a caller. Okay. Stephen, at this time, we have got winner of the Super Chevy Stores.com, Alan Crow 100, Driver of the number 27, Liberty Village Office Specialties Ford, Mr. A.J. Fike. Let's bring A.J. Fike into the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
AJ, how you doing tonight, bud? You're live in Talladega.
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, and I want to introduce you to my good friend, a co-host, my sidekick here, Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Congrats on the win, bud. Awesome. I watched everything.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It was a cool deal all around there. Springfield, I kind of consider Springfield my home track, and to pick up my first ARCA win there. I always got all friends and family there. It's just a special day.
Yeah, I bet it was, bud. I bet it was. And if you can, AJ, I know your time is limited, but thanks for coming on our show here. Can you talk a little bit about, I know you've raced dirt, you've raced asphalt, and putting a ARCA car on dirt and asphalt is a little bit different than putting a super late model on dirt. Which I know Goodyear, Hoosier brings that special tire for the dirt. Is there any, which I know you have to be careful for going into the turns, but can you tell our listeners, AJ, the actual dirt clay sort of rubbers up just like an asphalt track, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And on Sunday, the track really got rubbered down. And actually, I think it makes it easier for the pavement drivers to kind of get around. Sometimes the track will start coming apart during the race, but on Sunday the track held up great, so just kind of made it everybody's job a little bit easier, I thought.
Yeah, sounds great, bud. David?
Yeah, AJ, you started out running with the USAC series, and you've come up and you've also run a little bit in the NASCAR Xfinity series, a little bit into the Camp Royal Truck series, and over the last couple of years now you're back into the ARCA series. Talk a little bit about your journey through the auto racing sport and just how hard it is to kind of progress through the levels of racing in general to be now back into the ARCA series, and talk a little bit about just how hard it is to get to these different levels of racing, and especially when younger and younger drivers are trying to compete for seats in the series, and how this win kind of solidifies how it may help you moving forward into getting into another seat later in your career.
Yeah, you're right. It is hard. I've raced about, I don't know how many different types of cars, a lot of different types of cars. Started off in go-karts, progressed into the midgets, and then the sprint cars and the USAC Silverado series. Trying to think when I moved down to start running, I think 04 was my first year of running the stock car, and I was driving for Andy Hillenberg down there. And I was down in North Carolina in 04, 05. I think 06, and just kind of got burned out on the scene, and kind of lost my confidence, went back to run the open wheel stuff, and, trying to get my confidence back, and now we're doing, running our own team at our shop in Brownsburg, Indiana, and we only got 3 full-time guys, and it's just a lot of work, and it takes a lot of money to get to the track and do it right and win races. And I'm just really proud of everybody on my team. And I just still kind of amazed me one Sunday. So,
and AJ, this is Tim here. I'm sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Tim. I was letting you follow up.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. AJ, just want to touch a little bit about on the actual race there up there at Springfield. We went over the 100 laps. Were you worried at any time, like Will Kimmel had the tire trouble, his left rear come apart or the outside come off. Were you worried at any time, because I know you sort of stretched everything. We went over the scheduled time. Were you worried about fuel or your tires or anything?
I had no, actually I was. I mean, the car was so balanced. I think we blistered on the left front, but it was just kind of the camber angle on it. All the other tires weren't blistered at all. We pitted, I think I lapped 30 something there, so I wasn't worried about fuel. I knew if I just hit my marks and not screw up the restarts, that would have been hard for somebody to get by me there.
Okay, Stephen, go ahead, bud.
And obviously, you know, running a very limited schedule as you do, and not being able to compete full time against some of these better funded teams out there, what is your biggest hurdle that you had to personally overcome this weekend when you had to face some of the teams out there, and especially on dirt, when the ARCA Racing Series doesn't run but such a limited racing on dirt? And I know that you kind of had a better handle on it, considering that you have a better dirt background than some of these other guys out there that are primarily in asphalt coming up through the ranks.
How am I trying to say this? The competing against the big teams, I think the biggest thing is just getting, especially on the pavement. We were trying to run the pavement last year. It's just lap time, and you know, this year we finally got out and tested a few times, and it's paid off a lot. Even for the dirt race, we learned a lot on the pavement, just running that to get transfer over to the dirt race.
And AJ, this is Tim here again. Pit road situation there in Springfield at the State Fairgrounds, it's a lot different than a lot of places y'all go. You know, you have to make that hard left. Was that sort of difficult to sort of get used to, or was you actually used to making that hard left going down into the pits, which is actually in the infield there at Springfield?
It's hard. I mean, I've ran there. I think this is my 11th race here, and it never gets any easier. I'm surprised that somebody hasn't been ran over yet, because it gets hectic and it gets jammed up. And it's a crazy pit road, that's for sure.
And throughout the rest of the 2015 ARCA Series season, what are you going to try and concentrate on this year and going into the future? Where do you feel like you're now going to start looking at, especially with this win? Is this a confidence booster on being able to now explore other opportunities within the series or other series?
Right now we're planning on running DeCoin and Salem, and hopefully getting through those two races at the end of the year. We might go to Kansas, Kentucky, just depending on our equipment situation. But this win is already, we already got a sponsor locked in for next year. He called me yesterday, and we're trying hopefully next year to do maybe, 10 to 12 ARC races, or maybe more, hopefully, depending on sponsorship. Just hopefully get through these next couple of races and not tear up the equipment and go out there and get another win, and hopefully go do a few more ARCA races next year.
And AJ, I know your time is limited. Do you have time? The phone lines have really lit up. Do you have time to take a couple of callers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I want to bring on my good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen. Let's bring Mr. Todd Bisbee in the pit stop between the Spain and AJ Fox. Todd, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good.
Well, good. You're on with AJ Fox, winner of the Chevy Superstore.com 100 at Springfield. Do you have a question for AJ?
Sure. AJ, I was watching the race, and when you got out front and you took that lead, did you think anybody was going to have a chance to catch you?
I knew I saw Frank. I know there was a few guys that could catch me, but I was known as going to make it pretty hard. If I didn't screw up and overdrive the corners, it would be hard for somebody to pass me unless they moved me out of the way. So I didn't screw up, so that was good.
Well, anyways, congratulations on your win.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Todd. I'll put you back over in mute. That's my good friend, Todd Beefy, up at New York. I got my other good friend. I don't know if you know this gentleman, AJ, Tony Bajinski. I always mess his name up. He was the front tire carrier for Daryl Franke when he won the, Tony, don't let me mess this up, Tony, 2012 Indy 500.
Let's bring Cody into the pit stop. Take him to Spain and AJ fight.
Hey,
how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, brother, and it's good to talk to you and Steven and AJ Fike. You know, he knows me when he sees me, but what you guys got to understand about him being in an ARCA car on that track, he'd already put 100 laps in on it in a Silver Crown car with the big three on it. And then, you know, I'm proud of you for running USAC and doing that, and way to go. You know, I think the last time I was rooting for an ARCA guy to win was Cochran.
Yep.
And I was rooting for you because I know your background, and, you know, I was going, come on, AJ. So, very proud of you. But I love seeing you in the Silver Crown car, and I love seeing you in the Sprint car. Are you going to be able to make the SmackDown winner, winner, chicken dinner?
Is it SmackDown this weekend?
It actually starts Thursday. Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it this year. Actually, I think I'm going to go run a UMP Modified somewhere in Illinois for a guy this Saturday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very proud of you, AJ. And you're on a great radio show with two great hosts, and Todd Bixby came in, and I really appreciate you being here tonight.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Thank you, Tony. Tony, I'm gonna throw you back over, and we'll let you and Todd get y'all segment going on here shortly. AJ, like I keep saying, I know your time for this. Stephen, you have any last thoughts for AJ Fox?
I don't. Just congratulations on your win this past weekend up there, Springville, and good luck on 2016. Well, the rest of 2015 and next year on what you got going on.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Thanks, Stephen. And AJ, you know, with me being here in Talladega, don't get me in line. I can't remember. I was a pit reporter for the local radio station here, 92.7, for the ARCA race this past time, and I don't remember if you was here or not. But do you plan to come down and run an ARCA race here at Talladega next year, next spring?
You know, just right now, it just depends. I'd love to. I love Talladega. I ran there 04 with ARCA and 05 with the Xfinity or Nationwide or Busch or whatever you call it now. But, yeah, hopefully I'd love to get to Talladega and run there again. It's Talladega's a blast, and it's always a good time there.
There's something else in it, bud.
It is. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like
it. I know it.
Nothing like it.
And, AJ, we don't want you to be a stranger. We'll get you back on. Just let us know. But we give everybody the time to let everybody where they can follow you at on social media and thank all your sponsors. And just like Steven said, congratulations on your first win up there at Springfield this past weekend on the dirt, bud. Great job.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. And whenever you want me on, just hit call me and I'll be on there for you guys.
All right. Thanks, bud. Go ahead and thank your sponsors. We're going to give you the floor, bud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I got Liberty Village, Office Specialist, Matrix Care. I'm trying to think right now. Factory Kane, Hoosier Tires. You know, I really got to thank ARCA for going to this new motor deal, the Ilmora Engines. You know, it's really leveled out the playing field, I think, from the small teams to big teams. And, you know, this new Ilmora engine deal and composite body that ARCA's doing is really giving the small teams a chance. And I got to appreciate, thank ARCA for everything.
Yes, sir. AJ, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule coming on, and good luck in the rest of the year, and good luck on your endeavors, and we hope everything works out for you, bud. We pull it for you.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. See you, AJ.
All right,
bud. All right, that was AJ Fike, one of the SuperChevyStores.com 100 Springfield on the Dirt this past weekend. Steven Wilson, do you have any last thoughts before we let Todd Bixby in? Tony B do their segment, everything open for you. You got the floor.
I don't. I guess we get an off week from the Spring Cup Series, and we're going to go road racing yet again for the Xfinity and the Truck Series. So that's all I got to say. I don't have anything else unless you guys do.
I don't have nothing. I'm going to stay on here with Tony and Todd, and I guess we'll be trekking up. I think Suzanne and I are going to head up your way, you in Virginia. I think we're going to meet y'all in Darlington, I think, Friday. We're going to leave out next Friday morning.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Steve. Thanks, bud. I'll talk to you next Tuesday night on the show, or if you call me. And, Stephen, throw out there where everybody can follow you at on Facebook and your website, bud.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at Speedway Digest, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com, and SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com.
And save the Speedway, correct?
Yeah, that too.
Sorry, bud. I always throw in. Stephen, thank you very much, bud, for being a great friend. And we had a good show. Tell AM and the boys we said hello, and I'll talk to you over the weekend and next Tuesday night, and we'll see you in Darlington for the Bojangles 500 Labor Day weekend.
All right, bud. You guys have a good night.
All right, brother. Take care. We'll see you. My good friend, CEO Speedway Digest, Stephen Wilson. Let's bring Tony B back. Wait a minute. I got to find my button. I don't know where that button is. Let's bring Tony B back in. We're going to bring Tony B. We're going to bring Todd in. I think I got Tony B and I got Todd. Okay, gentlemen. We're going to let y'all have y'all show. Everything Open Wheel with Tony Bojanski and Todd Bisbee.
Oh, hello, Todd. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you, bud?
I'm doing pretty well, and really kind of taken back just a little bit. We know it's part of the what they do, but motorsports has really given us a lot of injured and terrible things in motorsports this year, and it goes from the top all the way to the bottom. And, I just want to God bless everybody that tried to help Justin Wilson and, Stefan and the family, and rest in peace, and prayers are with them. And we can talk about what I think is going to happen next in IndyCar if you'd like. Or what's on your mind tonight, Tom?
Well, as you know, Pocono Racetrack is only an hour and a half from me. So
sure.
when I heard about that, I thought, wow, that's just really sad. So tonight I had found it from Dario Franchini. I shared on Facebook where you can send flowers and everything in care of him.
Yes, I served that as well. Holly Weldon sent it to me, Dan Weldon's sister, and he's passed, and there is a fund for both of them. So, it's a very good thing to do, and God bless you for doing that on Facebook. That's really good, Todd. You really keep in touch with your social media, and it's really nice.
I try doing what I can, and I really try to keep up on a little bit of everything. And here come September 11th, I shared on there and tagged you in it for Watkins Glen Grand Prix Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
And I have never been to it, so this year I am making it to go and check this out because I thought it was very interesting. And, considering they run on the streets, I wanted to go and be able to check it out.
Right. That'd be awesome.
I do believe I know what you're going to be talking about as far as what Indy is going to be doing, but I will let you comment first.
Well, I just believe that the IndyCar family and the Motor Speedway presidents on the oval tracks are not only going to cry out. You know, they really haven't, in my opinion, fixed the aero package because, you know, God bless Charlie Kimball. But if you saw his crash before the race, you would just wonder how those guys went around there with peace of mind. But, you know, what happened is going to also need to be changed on the cars. And I really feel like they're going to go with an enclosed capsule. You know, what you can think about or look into to visualize it is like the capsule on a jet boat, a speed, you know, that drag races on the water. It's an enclosed capsule. They enclose them for a different reason, but, you know, I think that's the direction that they're going to go. And, you know, I would have to tell you, Todd, and Tim as well, I really feel like they are still in the off season going to do a lot to that Dallara chassis on the aero package to make it a safer automobile when it goes backwards on these tracks. And they're not going to, you know, you don't ever have to think about, I don't think, any car going to restrictor plates. What do you think about that, Todd?
Well, I really don't believe they're going to go to a restrictor plate. I honestly, along with you, you know, feel that they're not going to do that. But as far as these capsules go, I really believe that I think that would be the most positive thing. As much as you do with brace yourself seats, as much as that goes into the safety of these cars, when you have that open cockpit, we all know that anything can happen at any given time during one of these races. And obviously this weekend, or this past weekend, had showed. So I really think that they really need to dig hard and deep in making this even more safer for these drivers. I'm real big on the safety part because, you know, I'm a huge fan of all sorts of racing. Even pushing Tim in a wear barrel for NASCAR. I believe that the safety is really big, and you know, we love our drivers, and
yes,
they
more
do.
Fans.
Yes, we're just a big, huge family. And when something happens to one of our drivers, you know, that puts the big, sad thing into our minds. So I agree with you 100%, and I was waiting for you to say it. And when you said the capsules, just like the speedboats, I think that's going to be one of their biggest changes that they're going to do with these cars, which I think, to be honest with you, they should have done this a while ago.
Yes, man. And, you know, I tend to agree with you. But I don't really know of the testing that went on with the Dallara before it was brought and put on with IndyCar to replace the DW12. But I can tell you this, you know, when you're at the Indianapolis 500 and you're changing things prior to a race, they're worried about it. And they're worried about these gentlemen's safety, and they want to give them peace of mind. And I think that's going to, it's got to bring something to protect that driver in the case of what happened with Justin. I mean, it was debris, and, you know, when you catch debris where he did at 200 mile an hour, without, and, you know, a closed castle may not have been built strong enough to take that. So it leaves a lot of, it makes a lot of questions, and the biggest thing is we want our drivers safe and try to give them peace of mind so they can do what they do best. What do you think, Todd?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, safety is, I can't express it enough, you know. I mean, as much training and thought and energy that goes into it, I mean, I don't know, you know, what goes through their minds when they're sitting there during the off season trying to figure what they can do. But I do I do give them a lot of credit for, whether it's NASCAR, sprint car, late model, ARCA, trucks, for all the safety that they try and put into these, I give them a lot of credit for.
Yeah. You have to, and, you know, you got to give a big, you know, big shout out to NASCAR for, you know, making places safer and knowing that they can do more, or, you know, thinking they have the job done and revamping it a little bit, you know, because strange things do happen, man. There was a couple sprint car drivers. And we've got one, and I will, I do not want to get his name wrong, so I will check the pronunciation on his name, and I will let you know how the prayers need to go out to him, because it was a bad weekend. And, you know, through World of Outlaws, IndyCar, NASCAR, USAC, CRA, ARCA, you know, there's been a lot of bad accidents, and I, you know, just really hope and pray we can get these things safer and not having as many injuries as we've been dealt with. So.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you anymore, you know.
You know, I looked up on, I'm going to tell you what, if you're not running a Mercedes in Formula One, you're just not really in first place, are you?
Yeah.
Those guys are doing an incredible job. And, you know, I always want to give a throw out to them, and I want you to know that Formula One, as well as IndyCar, are going to be looking at this capitalization of the cockpit on the tub, you know. And I could see arms coming up and extending the windshield with carbon fiber higher than it is, and maybe not enclosing the capsule. So it's just really hard to tell. But, you know, like good teams, they do aerodynamic tests. I know of these in places you wouldn't never know that they were, and they're running cars and changing wicker bills, everything they can. Run after run after run with aerodynamicists, and they make these things fast no matter how we fix them. You know that, Todd?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can do just so much, and, you know, we could go on and on forever about this, but you and I both know that these guys put their heart and soul into trying to make things as safe as they can.
Yep.
So, you know, I give everybody all the credit in the world for everything they do.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely.
On the other note, give me a little update. Watkins Glen International They are making great progress with repaving of the track for next year.
Fantastic.
And y'all might not know, but Kim Poole Wallace and Kenny Wallace, they are having a huge moving sale. And
a real rummy sale.
Yeah, really, real big one. And
it's not a joke.
Nope.
Listen, folks.
And I had got my order in because I wanted something at Kenny's, and there's a lady in charge. Her name is Brenda, and she helped me out with getting a couple items of Kenny's so I could have some real good American history in my room.
Well, that's very awesome. Kenny's a real good man, and you know, he was back with me in my ASA days, and I have all three of them. Rusty, and we call Kenny Herm. He hung us, and his brother Mike. And, you know, Mike still is making Xfinity races, and occasionally you'll see him even run a Sprint Cup car. But, you know, Kenny did his last farewell ride, what was that, Todd, 2 weeks ago?
Yep, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And so, but, and, you know, he's got, he was married to Kim when we were back in ASA days. And, you know, that was 30 years ago. when I seen him, I said, Kenny, that's telling us we're old. And he goes, Rex Robbins is old. He said, me and you, we're the same age. And I said, Kenny, I never thought that about you, but my God, him and I are both over 50. Or he just turned 50. I think he's over 50. And, you know, I thought, my goodness. So the conversation very quickly went to the people that ran our sanctioning body. we weren't talking about the age no more. Kenny does a heck of a job, and I'll tell you what. He's got those little side skit shows of stuff he's doing, and I'll tell you what, him and Ken Schrader are just glorious people that if you want to see them in a motorsports track close to you, they run dirt late models, and they run, you know, I call them IMCA modifieds, you know, which is a front open wheel car and on the dirt. And boy, they put on a beautiful show. What do you think, Todd?
Oh, he does. And I keep up on everything that he does. And I will tell you, the man can run a dirt car. And
yeah.
I keep up on everything that he does, and for, I believe it's all this week, I believe it's every day, he is running
mm-hmm.
a different dirt race.
Different track.
Yep. So,
I think if you want to follow his finish up, it's in Colorado, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and I give the man credit for, you know, granted he might have gotten out of the NASCAR part of it, but he's still doing his dirt and he's still doing what he loves. So I give the
yeah,
man
absolutely. And, you know,
all the credit in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Kim carrying his trophy and, you know, sitting next, then they load on the plane. He's got the trophy sitting next to Kim in the airplane and got that trophy in hand. He is a great winner and somebody to, you know, talk about, and that it does a lot for motorsports and gives back. That's what we appreciate.
Yeah, and I met him in 2012, and I will tell you, he was the most wonderful guy that I could possibly ask to meet for as far as a driver. He would just spend so much time with you, and, you know, I got my picture taken with him, and He is such a jokester. It was unreal.
Yep. And one thing I want to tell you, and a lot of the radio listeners and fans may already know, but Herman, Kenny Wallace, was, you know, everybody think it's just the Waltrips, and it wasn't just Michael Waltrip that was glued to Dale Earnhardt Sr., but Kenny Wallace was too, and Dale helped them a great deal in the motorsports persuasion to keep them coming through and up. And, you know, I can tell you, Mark Martin, when he left ASA to go to NASCAR, he did it 6 times before he got it right. So, you know, but he's one of the, you know, Mark Martin's one of the winningest guys and an incredible man in NASCAR. So there's still lots to talk about. I appreciate what's going on down at these, what has going on with Adam Galdon and the guys running down at the Talladega Dirt Track. And I'm pushing real close to being able to be there in October, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks you can make that, Todd. Talk about it.
Well, you know, right now the way things are, I know I'm going to have a funeral coming up, which is in Virginia. I'm just waiting on the bad phone call. Next month I have a wedding that I'm best man in. So I'm kind of excited about that. And we have 2 young fans that I got to meet this year, and I am giving them a surprise of their life.
Fantastic.
I going to make them even more of a fan of racing. I'm donating some stuff to them for their Christmas that their parents are going to put up. So,
fantastic. Product.
I figure there are upcoming fans and they love racing, so I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to make it so they're going to want to keep going to a race and enjoy the races.
Absolutely.
So I got a couple of things going on, so I'm really looking forward to only, you know, one bad thing, but, you know, I work my way through it, and I make the best of it, so.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of races still coming up, and, you know, I was talking about USAC and the SmackDown Series. It's a 3-day event, and I think they're paying upwards in the thousands of dollars for each night to win, and then also to win the event. It is a great deal of money, and it's a great program for anybody that's in Ohio or Illinois or Michigan. They had 23 states and 2 countries outside of United States that they received people buying tickets and reserved tickets for the race. So that's pretty incredible how many offset locations are sought after in the SmackDown 3-day race. And, you know, we'll have drivers from Australia, New Zealand, Ireland. I've seen them from everywhere come to run a quarter-mile dirt track in Kokomo, Indiana. It's quite exciting. And I would love to take Tim and Suzanne and you and let you guys see it at one time. But we'll cross those bridges as we come to them. But I'm going to tell you what, this man's going to try to be in Talladega, on Talladega Boulevard for the final NASCAR race in October. Timmy, are you around?
Yes, sir, I got you, bud. I just sit here on the backside listening to y'all. Do y'all have anything else y'all want to talk about? Or you want me to go through the weekend schedule here for the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, Tony? Y'all just let me know.
Yeah, go ahead, bud. I'd love to hear what you've got to say.
Okay, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, they're going to be off this weekend. And next weekend, Labor Day weekend, September 6th, the Bojangles Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway. NBC, and it'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Time. MRN has your radio. Also, with the Sirius, it's going to actually be on NBC, so it won't be on NBCSN. And then this weekend, we got coming up the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series at the Chevrolet Silverado, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Fox Sports 1 has your TV at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. MRN and SiriusXM has your radio. And then going to the – I did say Camper World Truck Series, didn't I, Tony?
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then – okay. And then August 29th, Road America 180 fired up at Johnsonville Brats at Road America. It'll be your Xfinity Series. NBCSN has your TV coverage at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. MRN and SiriusXM has your radio. At this time, is there anything that anybody wants to throw out? Todd, Tony, y'all got the floor.
I just, if you want to follow me, fans and people, Tony Baginski 1 on Twitter, at Tony Baginski 1, and at Tony Baginski on Facebook. And, you know, we're trying to reach out to the drivers with Brace Yourself. We will be having a Come to America, United States, here real soon to announce, and hopefully we can save some of these folks and put peace of mind with them with a new device to help the head and neck. And I thank Tim and Suzanne and Stephen and Anne-Marie and Todd. It's all yours, brother. You can close this out. And thanks for being my friend and coming in.
I appreciate it, Tony. And one more thing, FIA set to carry out closed cockpit tests for next month.
Very good.
Anybody can follow me on Facebook under Todd Bixby. I enjoy keeping up with everybody. I want to put a big thank you out to Tim, Susan, Steven, Tony, Anne-Marie, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Todd, you're welcome. And Tony, thank you very much. This is Todd Bixby. Let me start out with Tony. This is Tony Baginski and Todd Bixby segment Everything Open Wheel on the Pit Stop. Tennis Painting Stephen Wilson. And we're going to say good night from Talladega, Alabama.
Time is so much better than baby. a woman just like you in my life. So let me love you. Say you something that I want to hold you, baby. So let me squeeze you. Don't you know that I'll get down on my knees for you, baby. You see, I ain't much on Casanova.
Baby, baby, baby.